Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moy Katan Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Tezayin. In our previous shiur, we discussed, amongst other things, the issue of a menude. Menude is someone who is excommunicated. There are actually different levels of excommunication that we will be exposed to as we go through these sukkahs. But for our purposes, let us point out ahead of time that this is a long discussion that will last until Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, the issue of nidui. As we open up today's Gemara, you'll notice triangles that appear, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, and structural note, the Mivneh, combined into one note, the triangle appears, and they are Pratim, they represent details, Hakshurim, that are related to Lahazmonas Odom Rebezdin Lekabel Nidui, to the court, we'll say, inviting a person, summoning a person to the court to be subjected to this nidui, to excommunication, the ruling upon him that he is to be excommunicated. So we're going to deal with summoning a person to that event. The Gemara, Omar Rava, Minolon de Meshadrin Shlicha de Beidino u Maz Meninon Le Ladino. From where do we know that a court emissary is sent? Meshadrin is to send a court emissary to summon the Baldin, the person who is ruled upon to receive the excommunication. From where do we know that a court emissary is sent? Dichtiv, the pasuk, the Gemara answers. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Moshe likroy l'dosan v'laviram b'nei Eliyav." Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented the court, summoned Dosan and Aviram, who were subject to a nidui. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu sent for them. Uminolon de mazmeninon ledino. From where do we know that a person who is to be judged is summoned, a court summons is sent for a judgment? Dichtiv vayomer Moshe el Korach ato v'chol adoscha. Moshe Rabbeinu summoned Korach, who had a case, we'll say, with or against Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu summoned Korach, who was one of the litigants. So from here we see a source for summoning a litigant to a court case. Another detail about summons for court cases are lekami gavra rabba, that the person being summoned is summoned to appear in front of a great person. So dichtiv. And here, it's not a person, it's the infinite one, Lifnei Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent for Korach to appear in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu for judgment, in front of the Almighty for judgment. At Uplanya, another detail, is that we, in the summons, we make mention of the litigants, you and so-and-so. Dichtiv ato Vehem v'aharon. All of the litigants are spelled out. And from where do we know? De kavinon zimna, that we establish a date. Dichtiv mochor. In the same pasuk it says, tomorrow. That Korach and his colleagues, his allies, were summoned to appear together with Aaron in front of the Almighty, and a date being tomorrow. And another question, Zimna, Boser Zimna, from where do we know that if he doesn't appear on that first date, we set an alternative date. Dechtiv koru shom paroi melech Mitzrayim sha'oin he'evir hamoed. He passed the time, meaning an alternative time is presented. Uminolon di'i mispakir b'shlicha b'dina. From where do we know that if the litigant is disparages, curses the court emissary, v'osi v'omar, and the court emissary comes and reports back how he was treated by the litigant, that report on the part of the court emissary is not considered in the realm of Lashon Hara or Lishna Bisha, evil or foul, wayward speech, which we know is forbidden. Lashon Hara, malicious remarks about other people, is something generally speaking forbidden to make. So in the case of a court emissary that reports back to the court as to how he was treated by the individual summoned, if he was treated in a disparaging way, that report is not considered loy mischazi. It does not appear as kalishna bisha, as loshen hara. Bisha is Aramaic for ra, something bad. It does not. This is not a problem. Dichtiv, the pasuk says in the above mentioned parsha with sending for Dosan and Aviram, it says Ha'inehu anishim hohen tinaker, shall the eyes of those people be gouged out. Now Rashi points out Ilav the shliach d'amar li l'Moshe, Moshe lo haviyod, if the shliach would not have reported to Moshe Rabbeinu the way he was received by the litigants that he was sent to summon, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have known about the disparagement. Uminolon de Meshamtinon. From where do we know that a person who deals this way with a shliach beidina, someone who does disparage the court emissary, is then subject to excommunication? From where do we know that? Dichtiv, there is a pasuk that says Oru Meiros. Without getting into the details behind this pasuk, but Oru is an expression of cursedness. Oru Meiros. Meiros is cursed, meaning excommunicated. Now, another detail, and from where do we know? Dehochi Svora Degavra Rabba. Rashi points out, Hochi Svora Degavra Rabba, Da'as Ploni Sheba Lindois is Ploni, Tetzarch Linadoso Mishmo Shel Oisoi Chocham. That when a Nidui is instituted, is imposed, so it is to be imposed in the name of the important or the great man that is imposing it. From where do we know that you have to make that mention is made of the one who is imposing the nidui? Dichtiv, the pasuk in the same context says, "Omar Malach Hashem." The angel of Hashem said that Meiros is to be cursed. Uminolon demach reminon, and from where do we know that as a result there is machraminon? Let's, if we look in Rashi, he says be'oror, that we use the term oror, cursed be such an individual. Dechtiv oru oror, that is the expression to be used when the excommunication is issued. De'ochil v'shosi b'hadei v'koi ba'arba amos didei. And now, not only is to the individual himself who is recalcitrant to be cursed, but so to anyone who eats and drinks with him and stands within his four amos is to be cursed. That's the whole point of the excommunication, that everyone is to distance themselves from him. And so where do we know that one who violates that is also cursed? Dichtiv yoishveha. Those that dwell well with the cursed one. Uminolon departinon chatoe betzibura. Rashi on this says, partinon chatoe de amri that when a person is excommunicated, we're looking here for a source from where do we know that the deeds that led to the excommunication are to be delineated, publicized to the public. Dichtiv, kilo bo le'ezras Hashem. In the story involving the pasuk from Shoftim Perikei, Oru Meiroz, so there were those that were summoned to join in the battle, and they didn't come. And so that it's spelled out that they didn't come to assist in the necessary communal efforts that were discussed there in Shoftim. The Omar Ula, the Arba Meis Shipuri Shamte Borok Lemeiroz, through the trumpeting of 400 shofars, the Borok, who was the general at the time of the story in Sefer Shoftim, he excommunicated Meiroz. Now, what is Meiroz? So, Iko Diamri Gavro Rabahava, some say that Meiroz was the name of a leading individual. Iko Diamri, other explanations say, Koichva Have, it was the mazel, the star, literally, of Sisera, who was the commander of the army that the Jewish people at that time needed to fight. Shenemar, Min Shamayim Milchamu HaKoichovim. So, you see from this pasuk a reference to the stars, if you like the term Star Wars, so you can apply that over here, but that's a reference to the Koichva, the mazel of Sisera. Uminolon, another question, from where do we know the Mafkerinon Nichse, that someone who does not listen to the Rabbanon, someone who is recalcitrant, that his property can be declared unowned, Mafkerinon, Loshen Hefker, declared unowned. Dichtiv, v'chol asher lo yavo l'shloshes hayomim k'atzas asorim v'hazikenim yocharam kol rechusho v'hu yibodeo mikal hagoyla, that anyone who doesn't come according to the council of the ministers and the sages, so all of his property shall be declared unowned. Umenolon denatzinon v'leitinon umachinon v'talshinon seor umashvi'inon. And from where do we know that we engage in, let's say, roughness, these expressions of natsinon is to fight, laitinon is to curse, mochinon is to hit, talshinon is to rip out the hair, and to swear regarding someone like this, that is recalcitrant, that doesn't heed to the orders of the sages. Tichtiv va'ariv imam, and it says that I quarreled with them. Va'kalulei va'akemehem anoshim v'emritem va'ashbi'em. These are all terms that you see in this pasuk from Nehemiah Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Hey, all in the context of those that rebelled against the orders of the court, orders of the rabbis. Uminolon de kaftinon vasrinon vavdinon hardofa. From where do we know that we tie his hands and legs? That's kaftinon and vasrinon. Rashi says we tie him to a post in order to receive lashings. And vavdinon hardofa. Later, the Gemara deals with that. Dechtiv, Hein lemois, hein lishroi, hein laanosh, nifsin v'leesurin. That's the pasuk that's cited to, let's say, pasuk from Ezra. You see some Aramaic expressions in that pasuk that bear out the point of the Gemara. My lishroi, in the pasuk we just read, we say there was hein lemois and hein lishroi. Omar Ado Mori, Omar Nechemya Bar Boruch, Omar Rab Vechio Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yehuda. Hardofa. That Lishroi means Hardofa. My Hardofa. Well, what does that mean? And we said that just a couple lines above, after the triangle, four lines above, we mentioned that Vavdinon Hardofa. And that was based on this word in the Pasuk Lishroi. But what does Hardofa mean? Omar Rav Yehuda Breda Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Menadin La'alter Vishonin La'achar Shloshim Umachrimin La'achar Shishim. Hardofa, it means that there is an immediate excommunication, and if he doesn't seek atonement, so 30 days later there is a second level, a second, let's say, nidui, and then after that there is a more intense form of excommunication called chirem. That's after 60 days, if a person has not attempted to extricate himself from the state of nidui, so this more intense form of excommunication called chirim is then imposed. Amale Rav Huna bar Chinuna hachi amar Rav Chisda. We should point out, by the way, on the side of Algamor, we've included a topic heading, the nosei sibois loseis nidui, reasons for imposing nidui. One, lotzayas dina, a person who doesn't listen to court instructions, commands. And number two, mevazet tamidichom, people who disparage Torah scholars. So we continue in our Gemara with Rav Huna's quote of Rav Chisda. Masrin bay, we issue a warning, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, on Monday, then the following Thursday, and the following Monday. That all takes place before we actually excommunicate the individual. Hani mili lemamona. This has to do with someone who is obligated to pay. He owes a debt of money to someone and doesn't want to pay after the court orders him. Avol lafki rusa laavdar. However, when it comes to someone who shames and disparages, belittles Tamidei Chachamim, that's Afki Rusa, Rashi says Mevazet Tamidei Chachamim, then we don't give him the benefit of a warning ahead of time, but rather he is excommunicated immediately. Hahu Tabcha Dispaker Barab Tuvi Bar Matona. There was a Tabcha. Tabach is a butcher who had insulted Rav Tuvi. Imnu Alei Abaye Varava Vishamtu. Abaye Rava decided to put this butcher into chirem. Shamtu, shamta, a form of excommunication. L'soif ozal paisei l'bal dinei. Eventually he went and tried to paisei appease the one he insulted. Omar Abaye. Abaye, who was one of the excommunicators, said, Hei chilavet, what are we to do now? Lishrilei, to release him from the excommunication, lo chal shamta le talsin yomin. He didn't experience the excommunication for the minimum 30 days. Lo lishrilei, but on the other hand, let us, if we do not release him, kabo rabbonon lemeal. In other words, the rabbonon need him. They need this butcher. They need his. They need to do business with him, and in a state of excommunication, so those are that those matters are curtailed. Omar lei l'Rav Idi bar Oven. They asked Rav Idi, "Midi shmi aloch b'ha? Did you hear anything about this matter?" Omar lei hochi Omar Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi Omar Shmuel. Thusly says Rav Tachlifa in the name of Shmuel, tot. Osar, the tot, shori tot, or like we say toot, toot your horn. The toot is a reference to the shofar. We mentioned before that a shofar is used in the excommunicating. We mentioned 400 shofars were used to excommunicate, through which Barak excommunicated Meiros. So toot is a reference to the shofar that was part of the excommunication process. So what Rav Idi is reporting, in ultimately in the name of Shmuel, that you can, you're, just like you put him into cherem, you can release him even though 30 days have not as yet transpired. Omar Lei, so Abaye asks in response, Hani milu lemamona, that is true with regard to monetary matters, where someone is, as we said, he's recalcitrant in paying his debts. Avol lafki rusa ad chaylo shamta ole talsin yoimin. But when it comes to disparaging Torah sages, there must be a minimum of 30 days in that state of excommunication. And we continue in the Gemara with a long point. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading. Shloisha Shechrimu Haim, Shloisha Achirim Yichrim Lovu La'atiro. If three specific people put someone into Chirim, into excommunication, can three others release him? We should point out this number three is a number that's associated with the smallest type Jewish court. So if three who constitute a Beis Din put him into Chirim, can three others release him? So we continue in the Gemara. Almo Kosov Rabbi, from this discussion involving Abaye and Rav Ivi Barovin, we see that Abaye holds Hani Beitlosa the Shamitu, three that put someone into Chirim, Lo Osutos Achrini Visharule. Three others cannot come along and have him released. Rashi points out from the fact that Abaye was seeking out the possibility of himself releasing him after he had been one of those that had put this tapcha into chirim. It was of concern to Abaye that he could find, let's say, a chance of releasing him, indicating that only he and not someone else to replace him. Dibayalaho, the question was asked, Hani Bei Tlosa de Shamisu Mahu Lemesi Tlosa Achrini Vishorule. The question was raised, three, Tlosa are three, Bei Tlosa means a reference to three people, that the Shamisu that puts someone into excommunication, Mahu Lemesi, can Mesi is to come, can three others come and release him? So that is a question that was asked, Toshma, and we bring a Tanaic source from which we will draw several conclusions on three different points. The source reads, Menuda l'Rav, Menuda l'Talmud. If a rabbi put someone into Chirim, into Nidui, so that Nidui is binding upon the student. In other words, as far as we saw before, Nidui means you must maintain a distance from the offender. So if the Rav puts someone into Nidui, so the Rav student, the rabbi students must abide by it. Menuda l'Talmid, eino menuda l'Rav. If a student, a young Torah personality, scholar, put someone into Chirim, that's not binding upon the Rav, the teacher of that Talmid. Menuda l'iro, menuda l'iro acheres. If he was menuda because of offending his own community, so then the people of other communities must abide by the rules of the nidui. Menuda l'iro acheres, eino menuda l'iro. If a person from town A was excommunicated by people in town B, so his own town's folk don't or are not bound by the other city's nidui. Menuda l'nasi, menuda l'chol Yisrael. If a person was excommunicated by the nasi, by the president, the king, so he is bound by that nidui with reference to the rest of the people of Israel. Menuda l'chol Yisrael, eino menuda l'nasi. However, if he's excommunicated by others, by the rest of Klal Yisrael, he is not subject to the Nidui vis-a-vis his dealings with the Nasi. The Nasi is not bound by their Nidui. Rav Shimon Leoimer, Echad min atamidim shenida umeis, chelkei eino mufar. Rav Shimon says that if one of the Talmidim put someone into Chirim, and he was part of a group of as we saw before, a group of, let's say, three that put someone into Chirim, so his portion of the Nidui cannot be undone. That's the more or less the literal translation. The Gemara will make an allusion to this later. Shmami Notlas. From here we see three points. You can see that we've used a double underline, one of our series markings, to show the series of conclusions from this source. Shmamino, Talmud Shenida Lichvoidoi, Niduyo Nidu. We see from this source that a Talmud, even if he's not a a rabbinic figure, but he's a student, a Torah student, if he put someone into cherem, so it has, and he put it because his honor was belittled, was besmirched, so it is binding. Ushmamino kol echad ve'echad mefar chelkoi. From this source, we also see that when three people put someone into cherem, so each one, when he undoes it, when he releases the offender from the cherem, each one undoes his own portion. This sounds a little abstract, but nevertheless, each one undoes his own portion of the cherem that he initially imposed. Ushmamino hani beitloso deshamisu. We also see from here that three people that put someone into cherem, lo osu tlosa achrini v'shoru le. Three others cannot come along and release him. From the fact that this source said that one of the original excommunicators that died, so his chelek cannot be undone, sounds from the source, and from Rashi you can see this explicitly, can never be undone, which would imply even if someone else would try to undo it, it doesn't work. Omar Amemar, Hilchisa, so now Amemar rules on that which we've just said, Hani Be Tlosa de Shamisu, Asu Be Tlosa Achrini Vishorle. So Amemar takes issue with the conclusions that we reached, and he says that three people that put someone into excommunication, three others can come along and undo it. Amale Ravashi Lamemar, Ravashi questions, Vahotanya, but did we not learn, Chelkoi Eino Mufar, the source we just learned, that if one of the Talmidim put someone into cherem, he was part of a group of excommunicators, and he died, so his portion of the excommunication cannot be undone. My love, does this not mean Eino Mufar Klal can never be undone? So does that not in fact show that only those original excommunicators have the power of undoing it? No, so Amemar responds to Ravashi's question and says that's not so. When Rav Shmuel says chelchu einu mufar, it means ad asu beitos achrini v'sholei. It remains remains intact until three others come and undo the nidui. Now we have a slash mark, as you can see. It's a new train of thought continues from at this point, and on the side we have an Osei topic heading where we've written Oirich Zman Shel Nidui and Nezifa, the length of time that one is in Nidui. In other words, when we say Nidui, how long a period is that the person experiences this communal distancing? Another expression, Nezifa. Nezifa has to, if you translate it literally, has to do with wrath, anger, displeasure. It's another one of these states of distancing someone, showing our abhorrence with his behavior in a form of called minor level excommunication. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Nidui Pachos Mishloshim Yom. Nidui is not less than 30 days. If someone is committed an offense requiring Nidui, he must experience that for a minimum of 30 days. Vein Nezifa Pachos Mizayin Yomim. Nezifa, as we said, is another category of displeasure, that is for a minimum of 7 days. Even though we don't have an explicit source for this, we nevertheless have a reference to it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'yovio yoroi kirak b'fonel alo ticholem shivas yomim." Now, the context of this pasuk involves Miriam and her questionable remarks, we'll say her Lashon Hara, concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was censured by the Almighty, and the Pasuk makes reference to this incident, referring to her being distanced she experienced Soras for 7 days. So the 7 days is a reflection of this state of Nezifa, anger expressed against the individual, in this case against Miriam. Omar Rav Chisda, Nidui Shelonu Kenezifa Shelohem. Rav Chisda was in Bovel, and he says, our Nidui, the Nidui in Bovel, is like the Nezifa of Eretz Yisrael. Nezifa, we just said, was a 7 day period, so the Nidui of Bovel is a 7 day experience. The Gemara asks, Unezifa didhu shiva vasulo? Is that really so that the Nezifa of Eretz Yisrael is 7 and not any more than that? You'll see a new marking. Here we have a bow tie shape, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, Shnei Maisim, two incidents, Shemarim dafilu Nezifa, Shloishim Yoim. Shnei Hamaisim Kshurim L'Rebbe. You'll see two incidents that are connected to Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Judah the Prince, the well-known editor of the Mishnayos. So the Gemara, in asking the question, do note, by the way, that this is a long question. It takes us down quite a way down the upper part of Omid Beis. V'ha Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe u'bar Kapora havu Yasvi v'kogarsi. Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon and Bar Kapora, were sitting and learning Torah. Kashilu hu shmaisa, they had a difficulty in their learning. Omale Rav Shimon the Bar Kapora. So Rav Shimon said, Dovar zed sorech Rebbe, this matter needs Rebbe. Omale Bar Kapora le Rebbe Shimon. Uma Rebbe omer ba dovar zed. Now, that expression, Rashi says, Ein Rabbi ba'oilom ha'yudeh al-tavazah, no Rebbe in the world knows this. Ozal Omar Lei Lavua, Reb Shimon said the story over in a non-intentional fashion. Rashi says, Lefi Tumo. He told the story not with the intention of saying that Bar Kapora made this remark about you, but he told over how their day of learning went by, and we reached a difficult topic, and Bar Kapora was, and I said this thing needs Rebbe, and he said back that it, well, no, there's no Rebbe that can answer this. Well, Ikpad, Rebbe Yudanosi, he was upset. Also, Bar Kapora lis chazuye lei. Bar Kapora appeared to Rebbe to visit Rebbe. Omar lei, Rebbe says, Bar Kapora eini makircho meolam. Now, literally, it means I've never recognized you. I don't know who you are. But he was hinting to him that he doesn't want to see him. Yada dinoka milsa b'dayte. Bar Kapora understood that Rebbe had been upset. Nag mezifusa b'nafshe talsin yoimin. Now, here we've dashed underlined the key words for our discussion. Bar Kapora observed a nezifa upon himself for 30 days. How this is manifest, it's not obvious in the Gemara, but it certainly involves some type of retraction or withdrawal, if you will, for a period of time. And here we see he observed the Nezifa for 30 days. Shuv pam echad goza Rebbe shelo yishanu l'talmidei b'shuk. On another occasion, Rebbe instituted, he issued a ruling that Torah learning shall not take place, or more accurately, Torah shall not be taught in the public market. My Dorash, what was the basis of Rebbe's ruling? Chamuke yirechayech kamo chaloim. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Maise yidei aman." This pasuk from Shir HaShirim makes reference to Torah learning. The "Maise yidei aman" is a reference to the Torah, the craft, the working, the creation of the artist, and the artist being the Almighty, and his product is the Torah. And from this pasuk, we're going to see the issue of privacy, not, we'll say, non market public Torah teaching. And when we say public, you could have there's plenty of sources in the Gemara for very large Torah lectures, but they were done in the context of a base medrash, in the context or in the confines of a study hall, a building, a place appropriate for Torah learning, not the marketplace. And we see in this pasuk a reference to one's thigh, ma yerech v'sei. So just like the thigh is a limb that is covered. At the top of Omid Beis, af divrei Torah b'seser, so too the words of Torah are to be disseminated in private. In private, again, to the exclusion of a marketplace. Yotza Rebbe v'shono v'shnei b'nei echov b'shuk l'rav l'rabo bar chana. Rebbe Chia went out and taught his two nephews. His nephews' names were Rav, and the other was Rabba Bar Chana. And where did he do this? In the shuk, in the public marketplace. Shoma Rebbe, Ibn Rebbe heard of this. He heard of this incident, and he was upset. Also, Rebbe Chia is chazuye le. Rebbe Chia had occasion to appear in front of Rebbe to visit Rebbe Amale, and Rebbe said, "Ronya mi kore loch bachutz." Now, Aronya is an offhanded way of referring to Rebbe Chia. The Ches and the Ayin, as you can see, are interchanged. And he called him in this, using this negative name, calling him Aronya instead of Chia. He says, who's calling you outside? Which was a remez to get out of here. Yoda denoka milsa bedaite. Rebbe Chia understood that Rebbe had been upset, had been offended, and Noag Mizivus ben Afshei Talsin Yom. And again, we dashed underlined the main point. We see that they observed a Nazifa for 30 days, not for a mere 7 days. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and you can certainly use your bracket length indicator. You see this takes you down to the third wide line, and the reason for the bracket, I should be more accurate here, the bracket ends at the second wide line, and the note on the side by the star says, "Besochasagram mufia hemshich hamaisa." Within the bracketed section, the story that we started with Rebbe and Rebbe Chia continues. Avol mipchinas malach ha-gemora, but as far as the pattern or the unfolding of events, the chain of events in the Gemara, Iker Hanekuda Nemra. The main point has already been stated. Va'Gemara Chozera Salah Acharei Asagram. The Gemara goes over this main point again after the bracket. So let's take advantage of the markings momentarily, and you skip to the section of the Gemara on the second wide line, toward the end of the line, Alma. We see from the above, Nazifa didu talsin yoimin. That's the main issue right now. We have seen that Nazifa is not 7 days, it's 30 days. So how could the Gemara contend on Amud Aleph that Nazifa is a 7-day period? So the Gemara responds, Nazifas nosi shiny. The Nazifa of the king, or of the leader, in this case it was Rebbe in both stories. Rebbe, by the way, his name is Rebbe, he's referred to as Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi. He is the prince, Rabbi Judah the prince, the leader, the king of his time. And his Nazifa is more serious than the Nazifa of anyone else, hence the 30 days. But in general, Nazifa is 7 days. In the course of the Gemara, we had mentioned that the nidui of Bavel is like the nazifa of Eretz, like the nazifa of Eretz Yisrael, meaning 7 days. What about the nazifa of Bavel? We spoke about the nidui of Bavel, but what about the nazifa of Bavel? So that is what the Gemara will deal with. After that, you can see we have that dashed underline nazifa didon. Kamo Havli, how the Nazifa of us in Bavel. How long is that? And the Gemara will deal with that. Before we get to that, we skipped a bracketed section. We have Rebbe expressing his demonstrating his resentment to Rebbe Chia's violating his own his teaching, his ruling not to teach Torah in public. B'yom Talsin Shalach Le'ta. On the 30th day, I hope everyone sees, we're continuing with the Gemara, six lines from the top. On the 30th day, Rebbe sent for him. Hodar Shalach Le'dolo Le'si. And then he had a change of mind and sent a second emissary, don't come. Meikora my sovar, Lusof my sovar. What was the initial thinking of Rebbe and then the change of mind based on? Meikora sovar, initially he thought, Mixas Hayom Kikulo. On the 30th day, now that means 29 full days went by, and on the 30th day, he summoned, that means Rebbe summoned Rebbe Chiya. Thinking that part of day 30 is considered like a complete day, so that even if a couple hours went by on day 30, it's as if 30 days, 30 full days went by, which is the minimum amount of time for the Nazifa. And then he had a change of mind that we do not say part of the day is considered like a whole day. By the way, this concept of Mixas Hayom Kukulu does appear in other areas of halacha. Maybe most prominent amongst them has to do with the laws of mourning. The story goes on. L'sof asa. And at the end of the day, so to speak, and that's not a good expression over here. But he did come on day 30. That means Rebbe Chiya did come. Amalei amayosis. So Rebbe asked, "Why'd you come?" Amalei deshalachli mar delesi. Well, you've sent a message for me to come today on day 30. Ah, v'hoshachi loch delo tesi. But I sent a message, which we know is a second message, not to come. Omarlay, so Rebbe Chiya says, Zeh ro'isi v'zeh lo ro'isi. I saw the first emissary, I didn't see the second emissary. Kori ole, Rebbe referred to Rebbe Chiya and his coming, Birtzos Hashem darke ish, gam oivov yashlim ito. That when Hashem approves of a person's ways, so even his enemies make peace with him. So that what Rebbe was saying was that, even though it's a harsh term to use here, enemy, but nevertheless, when Hashem, in this case, approves the ways of Rebbe Chiya, so that even Rebbe, who was his adversary in this instance, had to make peace with that. My time over Marhochi. So Rebbe asks, you know, why I had a ruling not to teach Torah in public. Why did you do so? Amalei. So Rebbe Chiya answers, Dichtiv Chochmos Bachutz Torona. The Chochmos wisdom, Torah wisdom, is to be proclaimed outside. Amalei. So Rebbe responds, Im Koris Lo Shonis Vim Shonis Lo Shilash Vim Shilash Lo Pir Shiloch. He says, well, if you read a pasuk, you didn't go over it. And if you went over it, you didn't go over it several times. Shilash is three times. And if you did that, being shilashed, and if you went over it several times and you thought you had clarity on the matter, lo pir shiloch, they didn't explain to you, chochmos b'chutz torona kidarova. The explanation of that pasuk is as rova promulgated. The Omar Rava, Kala Oisek Batoro mi bifnim, Toroso Machrezisalov mi Bachutz. He who studies Torah in private, when a person becomes fluent, knowledgeable, expert in Torah learning through his private learning, namely not outdoors, but through his own private learning, he then becomes famous, well known outside. The public will know about him. So just to go over that point, what does Chochmos Bachutz Torona mean? That after a person has become accomplished in Torah learning, so then he, without any effort, so to speak, he will become well-known automatically, simply by having accomplished so much Torah learning. But not a function of teaching Torah in public. Question Vaksiv Lo Meirosh Beseser Dibarti, that when I spoke, this is a pasuk referring to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the giving of the Torah, it was not done in private. In other words, Torah is to be done publicly. So the response to that is not so. Hahu b'yoyim edekala, that is true when it comes to the yoyim edekala is a reference to certain public lectures. We made reference to public large shiurim in the past, but there are occasions. Those occasions are usually associated with holiday periods when a public lecture is given regarding the laws of the holidays. Then we say we make an exception, or then that is an exception to the rule, since it's a lecture designed for the entire community to hear. So then you can have it, we'll call it an outdoor public type lecture, Torah lecture. For Rabbi Chiya, Hai Chamukei Yerechayach Mai Ovid Law, what does Rabbi Chiya do with the pasuk that Rebbe had cited as the basis of his ruling? So Rabbi Chiya, and that pasuk indicated like the Yerech, like the thigh, it's covered, it's private. Rabbi Chiya didn't, what does he do with that? What does he do? Answer, Muki Law, but Staka Uba Gemilas Chasadim. He refers that pasuk to acts of charity and kindness. That when one gives charity or does acts of loving kindness, that is to be done in private without publicity. Alma, we see from everything that we've learned till now that Nazifa did 2,000 yomin. Nazifa's 30 days and not just 7. The Gemara answers Nazifas Nosi Shiny. The Nazifa of the king or the prince, the leader, that is different. Unazifa didon kama have, as we mentioned before, the nazifa of Bavel, how much is it? We saw that the nidui of Bavel was a mere 7 days, nazifa being a lower level declaration. What is its length? Answer, chad yuma, 1 day. Now, we have a new marking on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You see we featured a diamond, Maisim or Sipurim, these are incidents, Shemarim de Nazifa Shel Bavel, Urkei Yoim Echad. Stories to illustrate that Nazifa of Bavel is 1 day. You'll notice if you keep track of the diamonds and under and dot and dashed underlinings, you'll see that the expression Nohag Nazifusim Nafshi Chad Yoma appears each time after the diamond. So the Gemara continues, Kiha Dishmuel Mar Ukva, a story involving these two individuals, Kihavu Yasvi Goras Shmaitza, when they would sit in learning Torah. We should point out ahead of time that Shmuel was the greater scholar of the two, Shmuel versus Mar Ukva, Shmuel being the greater Torah scholar. Havu Yosef Mar Ukva Kamei Dishmuel Berichuk Dalet Amos. As they were learning, Mar Ukva sat at a distance of 4 amos from Shmuel. V'chihavu Yasvi Bedino Havi Yosef Shmuel Kamei Demar Ukva Berichuk 4 amos. Mar Ukva held the position of head of the court. It's an interesting phenomenon here that you have head of court, being that he held an official position as Nosi, which one reached through characteristics other than pure Torah scholarship. There are factors like being a descendant from the house of David, the Malchus Beis David, which is a requirement in order to be a Nosi. The Torah, on the other hand, is not something that's inherited at all. The Torah is something that anyone can gain greatness in it. But as far as this official position of being head of the court, or the Nasi in this case, that is the position that Mar Ukva held. So that when matters of judgment took place, Shmuel sat at a distance of 4 amos from Mar Ukva. V'havu chayki le duchta l'mar Ukva b'tzifsa. Even though Mar Ukva was the Nasi, he sat on at a lower level. He sat on a mat. V'yosef iluya, and he sat on this mat, kihechi delishtamon milei, so that he would hear whatever Shmuel had to point out in the case of a court judgment. So that even though Mar Ukva was the head of the court, nevertheless, it was important for him to hear what Shmuel would have to say. As we said, Shmuel was greater in Torah learning. Koyoma have malavi le Mar Ukva le Shmuel adush bize. Every day, as let's say the protocol. Mar Ukva would accompany Shmuel to where he resided, an act of a demonstration of honor that Mar Ukva showed toward Shmuel. Yumachad idrid bedine ha. One day, Mar Ukva was preoccupied with a court case, and he didn't remember, because of his preoccupation, he didn't remember to accompany Shmuel home. Also, Shmuel Basrei, and in a turnaround of course, Shmuel then went after Mar Ukva. Kimoto Lebese, when Shmuel reached Mar Ukva's home, Omar Le, Shmuel says, Lo Nogaloch Lishri Li Mor Betigre. Now here we're not going to translate, but we're going to use Rashi. Lo Nogaloch, Rashi says, Klomar. And as we've said many times in our Gemara marking Shmuel, when you see Klomar, that in effect is Rashi's way of saying that don't rely simply on the translation, but what is meant by these words. So Rashi says, Lo Sagi Loch De Azilno Basroch. Is it not enough that I had to follow you home? Rashi continues, Lishri Limor B'Tigre, Hav Li Rishusel Mehader. Give me permission to go back home. That's, of course, you should understand it with a certain amount of sarcasm. The Gemara continues, Yoda Mar Ukva understood the Nokat Milsa B'Daite, that Shmuel had been offended. Nohag Nezifusa Benafshe Chad Yoma, and Mar Ukva accepted upon himself Nezifus Nezifa for one day. Hahi Itza Dahavis Yasva Bishvila. There was a woman who was sitting in the road. Havet Pashta Tara Vika Menifa Chushloi. She had her leg stretched out, and she was sifting through some grains. Rashi explains, actually on the side, not Rashi, but the side comment says, Sorim Klufim, and he quotes Rashi from Sanhedrin. It's peeled barley grains. And she was sifting them out, separating the peels from the grain itself. The Gemara continues, a Torah scholar walked by, and she didn't demonstrate any humility toward him. Omar, the rabbinic scholar, commented, Kama chatzifa hahi itza, how rude, how bold is that itza, that woman. Asoi l'kamei d'Rav Nachman, the woman came to Rav Nachman with this story. Omar lo, Rav Nachman asks her, Mishamis shamto mipume? Did you hear him utter any expression of excommunication? Omra le lo, no, that I didn't hear. Now, it's understood, as we've said earlier, that shamto, which is one level of excommunication, is the din, it's the verdict that we issue toward those that disparage Torah sages. So Rav Nachman asks, so you tell me a story of your misbehavior, misconduct toward the Torah sage. Did he in response issue an excommunication? Omra lay lo, no, that I didn't hear. Omar lo, so Rav Nachman says, Zili nehugi nezifusa chad yuma benavshech, so practice a self-imposed nezifa for one day. Another incident, Zutra bar Tuvia, have a kaposik sidra kamei de Rav Yehuda. This gentleman Zutra was teaching Torah, Tanakh. Rashi talks about parshios, sections of the written Torah, in the presence of Rav Yehuda. Kimoto lahai psuka. When he reached this posuk in the end of the book of Samuel and Shmuel Beis, and these are the words of the final words of David, Omar Le, so he asks, Rishonim Ma'ininu. When you say these are the last words, so what were the first words? Rashi adds, Michlal Diko Rishonim, Valo Loma Sinu Shomar David Divrei Elo B'mikroze De Divrei Loshen Nevua. The word Divrei indicates prophecy. So the Pasuk would say these are the last words of prophecy of David. So that indicates there were earlier prophetic words. Where do we see that? So this was the question that Zutra Bar Tuvia posed to Rav Yehuda. Shosik v'lo omar le v'lo midi. He remained silent and didn't respond. Hoda omar le, he said again. Repeated the question. Achronim, michlal digu rishonim, mishonim mahi. What are the first words? Omar le. So Rav Yehuda senses that Zutra Bar Tuvia is trying to press his point. He says, "My daitoch, what do you think? The lo yoda pirusha, the high crawl lav gavra rabahu, someone who doesn't know how to explain a verse in the scriptures, is that diminishes from the man's greatness?" So that Rav Yehuda had taken the attitude of Zutra Bar Tuvia as one of disparagement. Yoda denoka milsa b'daite. So Zutra understood that Rav Yehuda was offended. Nog nizifusa b'nafshe chad yuma. And he, Zutra, conducted himself in nizifa one day. U'da'asan alo miha. Now that we've raised this issue of the pasuk, the Gemara in its characteristic curiosity wants to know, so what really is the explanation of that pasuk? Achroinim di michlal diko rishonim mahi, by saying that these are the final words of David. So and Rashi explained the final prophetic words of David. What were the earlier ones? So the Gemara answers, Vayedaber David Lashem es divrei hashira hazos b'yom etzil Hashem oiso mikaf kol oivov u'mikaf sho'ul. The earlier words then is a reference to what we see here in Shmuel Beis, Perichov Beis. David said this Shira on the day that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saved him from all his enemies and from King Saul, who had put in pursuit of David. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le David. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses dissatisfaction to David. He says, David, Shirat Omer Ama Polosu Shoshul Shol. Are you saying that song is what is to be recited upon the downfall of Shaul? Il mole atashov hu David, had you been born under the mazal of Shaul, and he been born under your mazal, ibadati kama David miponav, I would have eliminated many Davids from in front of him. In other words, if the roles had been reversed, and Shaul had been born under your mazel, and how to translate mazel is something that's beyond my capacity, but it has to do with, in English, people refer to mazel as the horoscope or constellation or what have you. It's some type of natural order of events that the Almighty set up when He created the world, and that there are people that each person is born under a different mazel, and that has influence on the individual. Had he been in your place, you should know, many people of your caliber would have been eliminated in his favor. He was, as Rashi points out, Shaul, let's say on paper, was more righteous, was a greater individual than David. Rashi says, "Shu tzadik mimcha." This might come as a very surprising point to many of us who are learning this Gemara, but that's what it says over here. There are many other factors in how the Almighty runs His world, as the pasuk says, "Lo imachshevo isai machshevo isechem v'lo durochai darchechem." My thoughts and my ways are not like those of man. So it's very difficult for us to evaluate how the Almighty values each individual. There's so many other factors that go into the makeup of man and mankind beyond our scope. And here's a very good illustration of that, where there are factors beyond the that which you see, even in that which you see on the surface of things, that the Gemara here is making the comment, making the observation that at face value, Shaul was a more pious, a more righteous individual than the very famous King David, David HaMelech. But as a result of these additional factors, life turned out the way it did. Again, that is beyond our scope, certainly, of understanding. Needless to say, for David to recite Shira, Shira is an expression of joy, in the context of the downfall of Shaul, this irritated, so to speak, the Almighty. So the Gemara continues, Hainu Dichtiv, it is with that in mind that the Pasuk says, Shigoyin l'David asher shor l'ashem al divrei Kush ben Yemini. Kush, you'll see in a moment, is a reference to Shaul. Shigoyon means a mistake. And on this, Rashi says, Shgoga ha'isolo. This was a mistake on David's part to sing a song of joy regarding the downfall of Shaul HaMelech. But the Gemara asks, and here we have a new marking on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll notice a dash underline and a triangle that appears. Hoifas Hamila Kushi Ketior Letzikus. We're going to see that the name or the word Kush appears as a description of righteousness. And you also see we use a squiggle underline. Kayotze Bedover means other cases, similar cases to that which appears prior. So here, in this case, we have David acknowledging that he had made a mistake regarding the shir that he sung, that he recited concerning Kush ben Yemini. Ben Yemini means from the tribe of Binyamin, and in fact, Shaul was a descendant of Binyamin. The Chikushmo was the name Kush valo Shaul Shmo. His real name was Shaul. Elama. So what is the use of the word Kush as a reference to Shaul? Elama Kushi Mishunaboro. Kushi is a reference to someone that has a very intense black skin pigmentation. And it's unusual. It's some type of very dark color, an unusual situation. So just like Kushi is a reference to someone that's very different in his skin, Af Shaul Mishuna B'maisav, so too King Saul was unusual in his behavior, in his ways, and in the very positive sense, his very unusual ways of righteousness. He was, Rashi says, a tzaddik gomor, a completely righteous individual. And my word of advice, for whatever that's worth, is that when you take this information, go back and learn the scriptures in the Tanakh, and you read of the stories that are now, I would say, more difficult to understand, how Shaul was in hot pursuit, in a desperate pursuit of David, seemingly full of hate and venom. One has to understand that there's so much more depth than that which is revealed in the simple reading of verses. And in general, students of Torah, true Torah students, do not ever read the Tanakh on its we'll say superficial literal level. That would be a grave misjustice to the towers, to the towering figures that appear in the Holy Scriptures, and that demands the study of the Tanakh along with the traditional commentaries, because otherwise you can see you'll run into major conflicts and contradictions that otherwise cannot be resolved. So, and let me just point out, just as another editorial remark, there's a very common, there's a kind of common approach by the uneducated when they read the scriptures and they take the attitude, well, they were people just like us. That's very alien to the traditional approach that people who are students of Torah would take to the scriptures and the figures therein. And there are many, many examples of that, which is way beyond the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, but from time to time it's necessary to point out these matters so that people don't make the mistake of reading the scriptures as a commoner would read a popular paperback book. So we can now go back to our Gemara. Kayotze Badohar Atomer. Similarly, you see, again, the word Kushi as referring to a specific individual when their name wasn't Kushi but something else. Kayotze Badohar Atomer. Similarly, we see Aoidus Isha Kushi Sasher Lokach. This is a reference to the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu without getting into the entire background to the particular pasuk here, but it's a reference to the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chi Kushis Shema was her name. Kushis V'alo Tzipora Shema. Her name was Tzipora, as the Torah itself reports. Elama Kushis Mishuna Ba'ira. Just like a Kushis has unusual skin, we said it's an intense black pigmentation. Af Tzipora Mishuna B'maisa. So too, the wife of Moshe Tzipora was unusual in her ways. And if we use the Rashi before, this too would be an expression of her being a totally righteous individual. Kayotze Badover Ata Oimer Vayishma Eved Melech Akushi. The servant of the king Kushi. Well, the Kushi Shmo, in the context of that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the king's name was not Kushi, but Tzidkiyah Shmo. His name was Tzidkiyah. Ella, and he was a king that lived at the very end of the first temple period. So why is he referred to in the pasuk by the name Kushi when his real name was Tzidkiyah? Ella ma Kushi mishuna ba'oiroi af Tzidkiyah mishuna b'maisav. He too was a totally righteous individual. Again, this is a very a classic the description of that which we commented on before, because when you read the scriptures about King Tzidkiyah, you, if I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, he is referred to when you read the scriptures as a wicked man. Now, what that means has to be understood and analyzed, because the sages declare that he was a totally righteous individual. And very often in the scriptures, the term rishus might be used to highlight a very fine point of criticism, but the Tanakh being a book for all generations, often as a portion of the Torah meaning instruction, education, it has to highlight and accentuate even a minor deficiency in order to make a point, so that one should not misconstrue expressions in the verses as being a general description of the subjects thereof. And here is a classic example of that in the case of Tzidkiyah HaMelech. Here, as far as on the total picture, he was a totally righteous individual. Kayotze b'davar atomer. Similarly, it says, "Halo b'nei Kushim atem li b'nei Yisrael." V'chi Kushim shmo, v'al Yisrael shmon. The pasuk is describing the Jewish people and saying we're b'nei Kush. Is that really so? We are Yisrael, the Jewish people, not Kushim. Elo ma Kushi mishuna boro af Yisrael mishunim b'maseim mikol ha'umos. Just like the Kushi has that unusual characteristic, as we mentioned before, so too the Jewish people are unusual in their ways. And for that, all one has to note is the history of civilization, and one will see how true this comment is. As you can see, a slash mark appears indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer of Yonason. My dichtiv, Neum David ben Yishai uneum hagever hu kam ol. It's true, we were discussing David HaMelech till now, so that here we're picking up on a different trend of thought, but having the connection of David HaMelech. What does this pasuk mean when it speaks about the man who kam ol? What does that mean? He established the yoke. Neum David ben Yishai shehekim ula shel tshuva. It's a reference to David HaMelech, who is, we'll say, the paradigm of penitence. We saw that above, with David HaMelech acknowledging his mistake, and this isn't the only occasion in the Shas where David is presented as the classic penitent. And Rashi makes reference to the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, which ties that idea into the Maisa of Bas Sheva. But we won't get into that now. Rather, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Eloike Yisrael, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, Moshe Bodom, Tzadik, Moshe, Yiras Elokim. My, Omar, what is the meaning of this pasuk? Before we begin, we have on the side a mivnei, structural note, a house form appears. Psukim, Shirabi Avo, Masbir. These are psukim. In the course of the Gemara, Rabbi Avo will be explaining psukim. It might be worth pointing out that Rabbi Avo is portrayed, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Avodah Zorah as an expert in the scriptures. In fact, there Rabbi Avo is presented in contrast to another contemporary of his, Rav Safra, who was the classic Talmudic sage, who was less familiar with the scriptures. Rabbi Avo, in his capacity of public figure, he was a representative of the nation of Israel, had dealings with the Gentiles, and if you, to put things in a historical perspective, we're talking about the say the middle of the Talmudic era, and Rabbi Avo and his dealings with the representatives of the Gentile world at the time, and a lot of discussion and interchange took place surrounding scriptures. You're dealing also with what we can call the early Christian period. That might be a factor in this, but it was important. And that, this the Gemara says explicitly, that Rabbi Avo had to take upon himself knowledge. He had to pursue knowledge and explanation of the scriptures. We saw a reference earlier to Rav Yehuda, who had difficulty explaining a pasuk, and the Gemara and Rav Yehuda himself made the point that that doesn't detract one's lack of expertise in scriptures, doesn't detract from one's stature of Torah scholarship. Pursuit of scriptural explanation is something that was necessary on the part of those who had dealings with the general Gentile Christian, or I'll say general community, that oftentimes challenged the Jews based on misreadings of psukim, of scriptures, as we know only too well till this very day. But traditional Judaism is based primarily on the oral tradition, and this you can see referred to in the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, if I'm not mistaken, on Daf Samach, and also elsewhere. That same Gemara is repeated elsewhere, how the bond of Israel with the Almighty is through the oral tradition, to that which we see in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the cornerstone of Torah Shebaal Peh being the Talmud. Well, let's continue in the Gemara, having made that point only because Rabbi Avo is featured here in the context of as the explainer of verses. So we read a pasuk, and the Gemara is asking, "My Omar, Omar Rabbi Avo, Hochi Chok Omar." Thusly, the pasuk is to be understood: Omar Elokei Yisrael, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, Ani Moshel Ba'adam. I, the Almighty, I have control, I rule over man. Me, Moshel, be. Well, who rules over me? And this is a very difficult thing to articulate, but we're bound by the Gemara and its translation. But it's a phenomenal remark where the Almighty himself declares, who rules over me? Answer, Tzadik. So that's the... If you take this back and this information and plug it back into the pasuk, just the line above, you'll see that that is what is being said, where the Almighty declares that I am controlled or I'm bound by the tzaddik. Shani gozer gzera umevatlo. I can make a ruling, and the tzaddik, through the power of prayer and supplication and righteousness, can undo that which I, the Almighty, which I had planned or I had ruled. Once again, we have to make this disclaimer because we're dealing with such a lofty, such an abstract topic, but
we have here the words of the sages by whom we live, and they are telling us that Kodesh Baruch Hu responds to the righteous. Of course, that is under general circumstances, one cannot take these kind of comments and then try to challenge them based on different epic making or catastrophic events in Jewish history and saying, well, what was then? We said before, the ways of the Almighty are not the ways of man. We cannot begin to understand. We who are finite cannot begin to understand the ways of the infinite. But nevertheless, a premium is placed upon the righteous and their powers of prayer, supplication, and their good ways as having an influence, so to speak, over the Almighty Himself. The pasuk says, "Ela shmois hakibur mashir leDavid yeshev basheves." The star on the side indicates the continuation of the pasuk. Tachkemoini rosh hasholishi hu adinoi hoetzni al shmoine meos cholo b'fam aichos. My comma. The Gemara now asks, what does this mean? Omar Rabbi Avoh, Hochi Ka'omar. Thusly, it is to be understood. The Eile Shmois Gvuroisov Shel David. These are the achievements of David. Yoshe B'Sheves. B'Shah, and Yoshe B'Sheves, you can see, is an expression from the Pasuk. B'Shah Shehoya Yoshe B'Yeshiva, Lohoya Yoshe Al Gabi Kor Mixosus. When he was sitting in the study of Torah, he didn't sit on pillows and mattresses, on couches, on comfortable chairs. Elo al gabi karka, he sat on the ground. Again, an amazing description of, you're dealing with the king of Israel, but when it came to his preoccupation with Torah study, he humbled himself, he belittled himself, and sat on the ground. The Cholkama Dava Revia Rabbe, Ira Hayiri Kayam, as long as his Rebbe, his teacher, Ira Hayiri, that was his name, as long as he was alive, Hava Masni Luhul Rabbonan Agabi Korum Uksosis. Ira Hayiri would teach while sitting on pillows and mattresses, on sofas, on some significant form of seating. Kinoch Navshei, when Ira Hayiri died, Have Masni David Rabbanan, David then took over the position of teaching Torah to the rabbis, Vavi Yosef Hagavi Karka. David, though he humbled himself, he sat on the floor. Omru Lei, Lesiv Mora Kormuxosis, they pleaded with him, Why not, sir, sit on pillows and mattresses? Lo koblale, but he did not accept it. Tachkemoni. Again, what we're doing is where the double underline are quotes from the pasuk that we cited, this most recent pasuk that we cited. So, what does tachkemoni mean? Omar Rav, Omar lo akosh baruch hu. Well, Kosh Baruch Hu, noticing David's ways, he said, "Hayo vishpalta atzmacha tehei kamoni. Since you humbled yourself, you should be like me. Shani goyzer gzera v'ata mevatla, that I make rulings and you can undo my rulings." Rosh hasholishi. Now, in the Gemara, you see the word is printed with a mem at the end, but in the Tanakh, our holy scripture volumes, you see the word is without the mem at the end. It's hashalishi. What does that mean? Tehei roish l'shloishes avos. You are going to be at the head of the three patriarchs. Rashi says shehu holech lifnei l'olam haba, that in the world to come, in heaven, you will walk in front of them. You will lead them. Hu adino ho'etzni, kisho yoshe v'yosik b'torah, when David would sit in the study of Torah, ma'adein atzmo k'tolas, he would bend himself. That's what Rashi says, koyfev atzmo. He would fold his hands and legs together, sitting on the ground, in studying Torah. U'b'shosh yotzel mochoma, when he would go out to war. David, as you know, was a a major, we'll say, a military figure as well. And when he would go into battle, hoyamak shatzmo ke'etz. You have the word adino. Adino, adin is something that's very flexible, very soft, malleable. Etzni from the word etz, solid like wood. So when he went into battle, he was very tough. Al shmoyne meis cholo b'pamachas. Shoyozorik chetzim apu shmoyne meis cholo b'pamachas. He was so skillful in warfare that he could shoot an arrow or a spear, and in one shot, chetz is generally speaking an arrow, and in one arrow he would be able to kill 800 men in one shot. And he was upset. He groaned. He sighed out of disappointment regarding the 200 more that he didn't get. Dichtiv, the pasuk describes in Sefer Dvarim, Echo Yirdoif Echon Elef, how one could pursue 1,000. Yotzabaskol v'yomra, a heavenly voice came and announced, Rak b'dvar uri achiti, only because of the sin involving the incident of Bathsheba, who was taken from her husband or former husband Uriah Hachiti. So there, that was a, we'll say, questionable episode in David HaMelech's life, and because of that, so he didn't merit the full, we'll call it the full power in that's reflected in the Torah of one vanquishing 1,000. He vanquished only 800. Omar Rabbi Tanchum Barei Durav Chio Ish Kfar Akoi, Omar Rabbi Yankov Bar Acho, Omar Rav Simloi. The Amrilo, another version of names, Omar Rav Tanchum, Omar Rav Huno, another version, the Amri law. Another version is Omar Rav Huna Luchudei. Rav Huna on his own said, and we continue at the top of Daf Yud Zayin, Talmud Shenida Lechvoidoi Niduyoi Nidui. A Talmud who excommunicated someone because of his honor being offended, it is binding. Desanya, as the source says, and we saw this earlier, Menuda Lerav, Menuda Letalmud. Menuda l'talmud, eino menuda l'rav. That if the rav excommunicates someone, so that excommunication is binding on his students. If a student of Torah excommunicates someone, so that excommunication is not binding on the rabbi. L'rav hu d'eino menuda. It's true that it's not binding upon the rav. Ha l'kulei alma menuda. But to everyone else, it is binding. Lamai, regarding what are we saying this, that it's not binding on the Rav, but it is binding on all others. If the offender was put into excommunication by the Talmud because of Mili Dishmaya, we'll say literally matters of heaven, but we'd say because he disparaged something of a mitzvah-related nature, he was bold against the Torah, if that's what the case was, then why would you say that the Rav is not also bound to adhere to the excommunication? We have an offender who insulted the Almighty, insulted the Torah. Ein chochma vein tvuna vein etzol l'neged Hashem. The pasuk says that when it comes to Hashem, so there's no elements of other respect and stature. Everyone is subject, including the Rav, to honor the glory of the Almighty. Elo Lav. Rather, it must be that the excommunication that was referred to in this Tanaic source that the Rav is not bound to is Lichvoid Atzma, where the Talmud himself had been offended, and as a result he excommunicated the offender because of his disparaging this particular student, this Talmud. So as grievous as a crime that may be, nevertheless the Rav is not bound by that particular, is not bound to adhere to that particular excommunication vis-a-vis distancing himself from the offender. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.